What's going on, y'all? Jesus with Corpus Christi Originals. And this podcast episode, we have the pleasure of interviewing as our guest, freestyle artist Cantu. We talk a little bit about music, music business, his writing style, a little bit about himself. If this is something that you're interested in, stay tuned to the podcast. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Shit, what's going on, man? How you doing, man? I'm doing great.
You doing good? All right. Yeah, you kept on sending us some videos on our TikTok page. I was like, let me get this dude on the podcast.
Hey, that's me. I appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it, man. I like what y'all do with the Corpus Christi Originals. And, you know, I just like to support Corpus, man, 361.
Yeah, so you're not in Corpus right now. You're based in Bryan, Texas right now?
Yeah, I'm in College Station out here, Bryan College Station. Shit. Been out here for a minute. Came out to school, class of 16. Stuck around and just been doing my thing. And then my family and my brother, everybody's still back home in Corpus. My little brother, we got he got a pizza truck. It's a Eat Slice pizza out there in Corpus. So, you know, I'll be traveling back and forth from city to city, just still doing music and just going back and forth. And, you know, Corpus is home. So, you know, I always go back.
Yes, sir. Yeah, for sure, man. You got to love it, bro. You got to love it.
Hell yeah.
So you got a degree in business 2016. Mm-hmm. Are you using that currently, like for your, like your, well, do you have, aside from like being an artist, do you have like a main career that you're working on? Or, I mean, is that?
My main stuff is music. I do music. And then on top of that, I also have my little brother. We have like a pizza truck. On top of that, I had my daughter, she'll be 2 in May. And I found out how like expensive baby stuff is. So I started a baby boutique under her name. So I also have a baby boutique. And so I do that. And then I also do another little side hustle with hail damage, man. So I just use my degree to do everything. And you never know which basket's going to be the $1 million basket. So I just try to put my eggs in everything and spread it out. And that's how I do it all. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up, bro. So you have different streams of income coming in to support yourself.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so that's like entrepreneurship right there, bro. Not a lot of people do that stuff. Do you consider yourself an entrepreneur?
Man, I try to. Like, I've been doing things the whole time ever since I've been growing up. From even when starting music, when it's just making mixtapes and selling my mixtapes. At South by Southwest, or even at one point, man, I had a clothing company. Me and my brother had a clothing company called Risk. Out here, I'd every Saturday and Sunday, I'd be out there with a backpack on my t-shirts, wearing my t-shirts, telling people, hey, man, try it, this and that, look at that. You know, we take Venmo, PayPal, everything, you know, just whatever I can to make some hustle. And I've always been hustling, so. Yeah, I find, and then, you know, and then going to school and learning a little bit more on the business and accounting side, you know, you learn how to like really make sure you manage your company and you structure things well, which helps out with music as well. Because there's a lot of things about the music business I didn't even know, even going to business school, getting a degree and all that. Like, there's a lot of stuff they don't teach you. And there's a lot of stuff that you just have to be hands on. And the more you network, the more you talk to people. The more you learn, it really is like, you know, you don't got to get a degree to do this. You don't got to do that. It's really just going out there, doing it yourself and just trying it. I just, you know, happened to go to A&M, fell in love with A&M and everything. So
that's what's up, bro. So like, so you consider yourself an independent artist. I think that's very, it's very important, and it's different as opposed to like somebody trying to make it, you know what I mean? And they get on, somebody's record label or whatever. So how is it different in that sense, being an independent artist?
Everything comes out of your pocket. You pay for everything. You're paying for studio time. You're paying for the music. You're paying for the rights. You're paying for the advertisement. You're paying for the marketing. You're paying for the music placement. Like right now, you can actually catch My Circle and my other song Working. Featuring Steph out of Austin. It's on BCS radio right now. It's a satellite radio. You can go download the app. My music gets played on there. Same thing with Too Hot Radio out there in Atlanta. Then I'm also about to get played in the Arizona market. So to do all that, it costs money for normally a record label pays for all that, right? They pay for your marketing, they're going to pay for your placement, they're going to pay for your studio time, they pay for everything up front. But in the back end, if you don't know the business, that's when they recoup their money, you know, from all their streams, from all your live shows, from the merch they sell, from everything. You know, that's how they make their money back. They give you a lot of money, but they want their money back. They're not just in the charity business. And that's one thing that I've learned to, like, just learning business and just being as an entrepreneur, just ever growing up, like, and anything from a kid just doing, like, lemonade stands on the corner, you learn how to, like, you don't just spend all that money. You need it to, you know, go back into the company. You need to, like, get some more merch. You need to go back and do things. You need to reinvest it. And that helps out, too. So a lot of that, I take that just for trying to sell my own CDs, my own clothes, from every little thing, you know, I just learning the falls and the fails and where I slipped up and where I could have done better. Just doing it yourself is actually, like, the best way to do it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. Totally. I can see how it's a business and how you got to put your money in there. And it's like,
yeah, man. Because if you're not, it's just a hobby. And you're no different than, if I'm going to spend all this money to make this music, I might as well go be at a country club, because I can spend the same amount of money playing golf. I can do the same amount of money going to, like, you know, over there, Corpus Christi, like the Corpus Christi Country Club, right? Or anything like that. I might as well spend that money to do the same thing. If you're not recouping it, it's just a hobby. And so I started treating it. There was a time where, like, I was just treating it like as a hobby. I wasn't treating it like a business. I wasn't thinking of it as a business. And so one day, you know, one of my OGs just, like, really sat me down and talked to me, like, hey, you got this, or are you just having fun with it? What are you doing? And I literally thought about it. I was like, man, I love doing this. I love putting out music. I love entertaining. This is not the beginning. This is not just what I want to do. I want to keep doing a lot of things. I would love to go from music to acting, from acting to other types of entertainment, all kinds of, just to be an entertainer in general. But you got to treat it like a business, because if you don't treat it like a business, they're not going to treat you like you're taking it to business. They're going to just treat you as a hobbyist. They're going to treat you as somebody that doesn't know what you're doing. So you really got to believe in yourself. You got to treat it every day as a job. And then it starts, you know, manifesting into that. And when you do that, man, it comes back. And I mean, just as you know, like, you know, Corpus Christi originally started as a dream. And then you started putting in the work and actually going out there, doing the shows, making the merch, not spending that money as soon as you get it, you know, just like, oh, you know, you realizing, like, hey, this is a business. You got to start running it like a business. And next thing you know, man, it grows and shit.
Yeah. And
then that's how you got to attack it.
Yeah. And then taking as much advice as you can. Hopefully you're getting good advice. You know what I mean? How to make, how to flip that money, make it back or whatever. Yeah, definitely, bro. Definitely, man. Yeah. So you grew up in the Crestmont area in Corpus?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I grew up 2713 Allen Crest, right there by the bowling. And now it's Valero. Over there by Misty Winds. Yeah, Misty Winds. Okay, there it is. Okay, all the way. Yeah, yeah. So I grew up down there. We went to Robert Wilson Elementary, Galvan Elementary, South Park Middle School, Hamlin Middle School, and I went to Carroll High School.
Wow.
So I just grew up. Yeah, so I grew up on the South Side. And my mom was a teacher at Robert Wilson and stuff. So that's why I went over there to Hamlin and them. So, like, it was just easier for her to just take me and my little brother to school than to just try to hope we get on the bus and actually go to school. It was a lot easier to make sure we went to class, you know.
So how old are you? Are you close to 40 or what?
Shit, hell no, bro.
Okay, yeah, because I went to Robert Wilson myself when I was in elementary. Mm-hmm. Man, I think it was like third to fifth.
Yeah, no. I'm class of 06 of Carroll.
Okay.
You know, just shit, been in it, just doing my thing, man, just taking time to grow. And all of a sudden, man, now all that time and effort and all that work, man, it's finally paying off. I'm actually getting that movement, getting that attraction, getting the shows, getting, like, you know, the calls and stuff. So, I'm out there. What were you saying, bro?
Now, is it a mixture of people, like, calling out, like, hey, can you come play a show over here? Or and then you as well putting in the footwork, hey, can I do a show over there?
Man, it's a mixture of both. It's a mixture of just networking, and then, let's say, like, doing shows, people seeing you, seeing how you are on stage, seeing how you interact with fans, seeing how you interact just professionally, and then like saying, hey man, just why don't you come do a show over here? And then next you know, somebody else talks to you. And then it's really a mixture of both.
Yeah, so that gets into like performance, like actual performance. Mm-hmm. Man, that means a lot, bro, because you can't just go up there and just pretend like it's your house. I understand that, bro. That's big right there. So do you feel yourself like working on your performances every time you perform?
Yeah, especially like on my breathing. Because I'm a smoker, right? Like being on stage, doing a 15, 20-minute set, you know, jumping up and down, moving around. If I just stay still, not do anything, I'm not going to run out of breath, but you're not giving off that energy to the crowd. I love to be in the crowd's face. I love to be up and down. I love to be just, right. You know, very animated with the entertainment, because you're paying that money to see a show. I want you to see a show. You know, I don't want you to see just a painting on the wall and you're standing there and just looking at it. I want you to enjoy your experience. My whole job, or how I look at entertainment or making music, if I can take those 2 or 3 minutes and take you out of your problems for the day, or take you out of whatever you're thinking, and you just enjoy whatever I made, if it's to make you happy, to make you sad, to make you uplifted, to make you think, I did my job, and I took you out of your element and helped you clear your head for a little bit. And that's what it is to be an entertainer. To be an entertainer and to be in this industry is to, you know, entertain. It's to help people gravitate to something they could think about, help think about, like, not just your problems and get away from your problems. Sometimes people think of music as, you know, that is their drug to leave their fucking daily lives, their drive or their commute to work or come home listening to music. Is there self-medication, you know? Mm. And if I can help with that process, man, I'm doing my job.
That's cool, bro. Man, so it's more than just writing words on the page. And
yeah.
Is it a rapper or an MC? Like, what would you call yourself? Artist?
I consider myself an artist because, like, that's the whole point of my name. So my name is Cantu, right? And it came from elementary school. They used to say, like, if I can, you can. Roberto Cantu. Right. So I took it as motivational, because if I can do it, you can do it. Hmm. If I can come from where I came from and my things that I had and I had to struggle with coming up as a child, and I could come out here and put in the work and do what I'm doing, and now being on stage and being on podcasts, doing interviews, if I can do it, you can do it. Yeah. That's why I have the name Cantu. It's if I can, you can too. It's very motivational to be like, man, I'm not the only one that can just do this. You can do it too. Just put your mind to it. Just get it. Whether it's music, whether it's business, whether it's school, whether it's just, you know, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to open up a taco truck, you want to open up a hot dog stand, you want to open up just like something just to sell something on the side, or do whatever you want to do, right? Or be good at a sport, be good at golf, be good at volleyball, anything. Put your mind to it and you can do it. So if I can do it, you can do it. So if I can, you can too. That's the whole point of my name, is to be motivational, uplift people, help them. And then at the same time, you know, just experience my own personal life experiences and what I go through on a daily basis. And if I can help you with that, man, that's love.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah. It's kind of like a selfless thing when you're wanting to encourage others. Because we could sit here and be like, nah, I don't want to encourage anybody. I just want to do for myself. You know what I'm saying? Has it always been like that for you? Or has it been like a shift? Like, oh, I'm going to start doing this.
It ain't always been like that, to be real. There was a lot of time in my life where I was just selfish as fuck. I mean, to this day, I'm still selfish as fuck. So for a lot of things. To be continuing with this dream and continuing with this passion is me being selfish as fuck.
Right. In a way.
Right.
Yes.
But it's also showing, like, you know, man, I'm not giving up. I'm showing my daughter, it don't matter what your dream is, keep doing it until you can. Nobody can tell you no, because you never know. Right.
Yeah.
Fucking what? Like 2 Chainz got signed at 34, 35 years old. Right. Mm-hmm. Then went on. It don't matter. Like, even if I'm a one hit wonder, I could say I did it.
Mm.
I'm not, you know, it don't matter. It's just, this is what I like to do. This is my passion. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing about it. You know, just don't give up on anything that you believe or anything that you dream. Just find the ways to make it work. Find the ways to make it happen. And if it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. If it don't, it don't. But at least you know you have the will and the motivation to keep moving. And sometimes that's all you need. you know? And I feel like just keep pushing.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost like when we're selfish in that sense, we end up helping others. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that's how art is. You look at a piece of art, the person that's painting it, they're painting it selfishly, you know, the sense that you're talking. But at the same time, what's it for? It's for the person that's looking at it.
You know
what I mean?
And like you said, man, a lot of it was like I was selfish. I was a lot of the things. But over time, man, I started realizing that if I'm going to be, like you said, like if I'm going to be selfish in my ways and do this, I might as well do this in a positive manner, because I always feel like if you give out positivity, it'll come back, you know, tenfold, right? And then it took me a while to realize everyday activities and everyday things is a blessing. And it's kind of hard to, like, when you're always on social media, for instance, and you see a lot of people, man, they got these nice cars, you know, Rolex diamonds, blinged out stuff. And you go back to your home and you're like, oh, man, I just have this and I don't really have I have an old beat up car. But at the end of the day, you got to remember, man, you got a place to stay. You got a place to eat. You got a place to live. You're not behind bars. You're not in jail. You know, you can see your family. You're getting to breathe and you're alive. And a lot of us forget that. And over time, I feel like the older I got, like, man, I started realizing like that. Those are blessings. And just being alive and being able to see my daughter and be able to do things that I want to do without somebody controlling me, whether it's probation or, you know, something else like that. Like, that is a blessing in itself. And then once I started realizing those are blessings, man, my dreams started moving forward. My things, the positivity started helping me go. And, you know, that you can only thank God and my family and my mom and my dad and my brother and my inner circle for helping me realize that. But, you know, it took me a while too, but, you know, I got there, and finally that's how I started being a little bit more motivational in what I say, hoping that maybe it helps somebody, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man. It's like, and then this, when I listen to your stuff, my circle, what he's talking about, it's my circle. Go check it out, y'all. Cantu, my circle on YouTube. But that's like, what was I gonna say? It's like when as an artist, especially for your type of art, you put your emotions, your thoughts, your actual self to where people can hear. With musical, like instrumental, not much so. Like people kind of invent what they're thinking of, but you, with your words, it coming from here. You know what I mean? From the chorus. Is it difficult for you to like put out a song to where it's like, you know, it's coming from the heart, or how do you think about that?
Yeah, man. And you know what? A lot of it, and it took that. And that was part of some of the transition for me being selfish and to being a little motivational, because I used to just make music to talk about like drugs, sex, partying, you know, the typical. And a lot of it, man, I would have to say it came from my mom and my dad. So my mom and my dad started realizing I make music, right? They got Facebook all of a sudden, right? And they started realizing, you know, their social media, they started realizing I make music. And my dad was very adamant about, like, you know, mijo, like, you know, the people that make the songs for Chuck E. Cheese get paid a lot of money and they don't cuss. You know, people that make music for Jesus, we get paid a lot of money and they don't cuss. You don't always got to cuss. So I started cutting down on my cussing, and then I started kind of thinking about, like, now that I know my parents and my family are actually realizing I do this and this is some way I make a living. And like, you know, they start realizing, hey, he's doing shows and he's out here, and they starting to see me all over social media. You know, it made me start realizing, like, dang, they're really watching me. Right. They're really starting to see what I do on a daily basis. And it made me kind of, and I just question, like, second down myself not being me. But at the same time, like, I'm also representing them in a way. Right. So I wasn't trying to be disrespectful anymore and just trying to be like, you know, because at the time, like, I didn't care. Like, I'd be on social media, like, you know, drinking, smoking, blowing, you know, all kinds of acting a fool, being a dumbass. Now I'm like, well, shit, now people are starting to realize my name and stuff, and they know that's my mom and dad. I'm like, you know, I'm representing them. So it gave me that transition to be like a little bit just to grow up. You know, you ain't got to be acting a fool all the time. You know, there's a time and a place to do everything. There's a time and a place, you know, to be professional, a time and a place to act a fool, and there's a time and a place, you know, to promote and do your business. Right. And I just started taking in and taking, I started thinking at that approach in my everyday life. And then in my everyday, like, social media and presence, like, man, just was a time and a place, you know. If I'm just out here chilling, you know, then, you know, just out here chill. You don't have to be doing acting a fool, being wild and all that. So my mom and my dad, once they started realizing I did music, and took it seriously. And the thing was that they took it seriously in the fact that, okay, this is what you want to do. We understand now you're doing it. After I broke the business down to them and how I'm going about it, and they supported it, it made me think, like, man, if they can get behind me within, like, you know, just let me take it a little bit more professional in that sense.
So do you feel like you're writing? So how not cussing as much, does that change your writing style? You know what I mean?
It helps. To be honest, I never even really thought about it. I always use the cuss word as a crutch for, like, a rap. You know what I mean? Like if I was going to say, like, shit, bitch, whatever, you know, like, I know I could always rhyme with it. So it just gave me more of a challenge. Just open my vocabulary up, different words. Not to say I don't do it. I do it, especially like in freestyles. It comes out like that. But when I start writing and actual songs that you hear put out, like on Apple Music and Spotify, and like my actual things that are recorded and like properly registered, a lot of them don't have cuss words on them. It's just more my vocabulary just open up. And that's just me just being able, just in case a radio wants to pick it up. So it's easier to do radio play. It's easier to do that. Nice. And that's also another thing I learned, like, business-wise. Like, hey, if a game company wants to pick up your song or an independent movie, it's a lot easier that way, especially for TV or anything public. So,
yeah. So, that's good stuff, bro. Yeah, totally. So do you feel like an independent artist is kind of like just throwing as many arrows as they can to try to get, like, something? You know what I mean? How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's no sense in, you know, starting off as an independent, like, you know, clothing company. You don't know where to start. Like, do I do hats? Do I do shirts? Do I do pants? Like, you think all these ideas are great, but at the same time, whatever works for you and you find working for you, you got to stick to it.
Right.
And then you can grow from there, right? So that as an independent artist, you got to find your niche, whether it's, hey, freestyles, or if it's just you know, this is the type of music I make, a certain type of beat, or, you know, you stick to that and that works. And then you just grow and you branch off of that. You got to find it, because at the end of the day, it's growing your fan base. It's growing you, and it's branding your name and monetizing on your name, and the best way to grow it. So you just got to find each and every way, and whatever sticks. Right. And you just roll with it. But just because it sticks doesn't mean you got to stick with that method. You can always find new stuff.
Nice, man. So, wow, that's awesome. So you're on, you said Spotify and Apple. Excuse me.
Yeah, Apple, iTunes, Tidal, Reverb, anything Google Music. I got my publishing through Ocular Records, and then I got distribution through United Masters, so which hits all platforms. Nice. And then I own my music, and then with the help of, like, some producers and friends, I get them, like, a lot cheaper than it would be. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to own the rights to your music. You have to register your music. That way you put it out there, and you really can start getting paid for doing shows, start getting paid for streaming, getting paid for all kinds of performance and rights. There's a lot of performance rights people don't understand on that side of it. It's real big. It's real complicated. And you just got to do your research. You got to learn. You got to educate yourself. And the more you educate yourself, the better you're prepared.
For sure, man. It's kind of like I want to say it's kind of like a union. Like, you have a union or whatever, to where they know what their rights are. But musicians have rights. They have rights because what they, their art and what they create is what they create. And not a lot of people, especially musicians, they don't think about that when they start out. They're just like, oh, I just want to make raps. I just want to make rhymes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so it's like you got to get your I remember I was listening to a podcast, Chop It Up podcast. You mentioned the ASCAP, and then you mentioned the BMI, which are two things that you have to get, or that you should get as an artist. Right. Why? Yes. So Why is that so? Why do you think that?
It's just it's to cover your own bases, and it's to make sure you did it. So like, ASCAP, right? That's the one I use. Is it's the American Society of Composers, Artists, and Publishers, right? So any music you produce, anything that you write, anything that you register it. Once it goes into a register, it's like the national database for music, right? It's a catalog. So if anybody ever uses it for a movie or whatever, they know where to go. Hey, who's the owner? Who's the writer? How can I buy it? How can I use it and pay it? If it's not on there, you're never going to get paid. Like, just because you upload it to you, just because you upload it to YouTube, just because you upload it to SoundCloud, just could be uploaded through, United Masters to do like Spotify, whatever, it doesn't mean you have credit for it. Ooh. That does not mean it. If you don't do the proper place and say, who's your publisher? Who's it there? You know, it's kind of like registering or owning a car. You have to sign it, have the title, all that. It's kind of like having a business. If you don't have your business license, your tax ID, your ASCAP, and that is basically like your tax ID. It's your artist ID. So anytime your music or anything gets played, it's attached to that ID number so people know who it is. So if they ever need to use it or whatever, and it registers, and all of a sudden you build your resume, you get in it takes a while. Like, once you first register the song, you probably won't see anything for the next 9 to 12 months, because it just takes a while, but at the same time, you got to put in the numbers. You got to say, hey, I did this show. I did it here. This is the venue. This is the place, and they call and they do their due diligence. They make sure, hey, was this person there? But okay, cool. Because you get paid for that. Once you own it, you have performing rights. Like, you own that. For just being on stage and performing, you get paid for that because you own that property.
Nice.
So, there's a lot of things about it. And ASCAP and BMI are the two biggest ones. They're the same thing. They're just two different companies. I just like ASCAP because it's just more exclusive just on the, like, TV, movie, music side. BMI is a little more music. But you never, like, I mean, the same thing with like doing Broadway shows and writing things. Like, you have to do that. You have to register it. That way nobody, it's copyrighted and everything's good. That's how you do it. If you don't do that, it's your word versus somebody else's,
Yeah.
That's why you hear things where, let's say, I don't know what it was, like Justin Bieber made a cover song. But the cover song he did was to a guy like 20, 30 years ago. Wow. And the dude tried to sue Justin Bieber because all of a sudden he's getting credit for it. But technically, the guy that originally wrote it, that's his music. So he deserves a cut or something. And, that's what it is. It just covers your own basis. It saves it. That's, that's a very unlikely scenario. Right. But it can happen. But if you don't register, you don't cover your own butt, I mean, who's going to help you?
It's like protection from somebody stealing your work.
Yes. Same thing like writing a book or whatever, you give it to a publisher, they write it. So if somebody else tries to write it, it goes through a system and they see if it's copyrighted or anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing with music. Same thing with making beats. Like, you have to, and if you do, and it tells you on there, like, hey, if you made this beat, did you take a sample from somebody else? Did you do this? And they'd ask you, that way they know. And everybody gets their cut, and that's just how it is. And I mean, that's the one thing I try to tell independent artists, people just coming up, like, it's way more than just doing SoundCloud, YouTube, and just putting videos out there. If you're going to take it seriously and you want to start getting paid and want to get money back and recoup and turn it into a business, that's what you need to do.
Man, bro, that's a base that you need to touch, bro, because that involves your money. You know what I mean? If you're trying to make money,
Because if you're already going to pay to record, you're going to pay for the beat, you're going to pay for the feature, or you're going to pay for the engineer, you're going to pay for the artwork, you're going to pay to advertise. What if you don't get money back? It's just a hobby.
Damn, bro. Got to make your money back.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, like, I mean, if a record label contacts you and they offer you stuff, hell yeah, take it, man. That's one way to put your foot in the door so you learn the game even better. But if you're not in that position, or that's not what it is, or you're just independent and you don't know how to keep going, man, you got to start educating yourself to figure out how you can restart recouping your money, start trying to get venues, start doing shows, start selling tickets, start selling merch. You got to monetize on your name.
Yeah, for sure. I imagine you're trying to like save as much money as you can wherever you can.
In that sense. Yeah. You know, it is. It's like you. That's when you start learning how to record at the house. That's when you start learning how to do your own mixing and mastering. That's how you start learning to do everything, your own camera work. Because it all adds up.
Yeah. So do you make your own beats, or do you use other people's beats? How do you go about that?
So I actually, I'm very lucky. I got a homeboy, Childish Charlie. Shout out to him out of Corpus. Big dude. Childish Charlie.
Childish Charlie. All right.
Yeah, Childish Charlie. He's actually the dude that did the beat for my circle. He's actually done the beat for my next single that's coming out, Flight. Dude's super talented, awesome producer, amazing artist. And, he's also a Corpus guy. So, we linked up. And luckily for me and him, like, we work really well together. And he's one guy I get in, like, I tell him, like, hey, man, this is what I'm thinking on the beat. This is what we're doing.
Nice.
Dude's very talented, plays the drums, plays everything. So, we make it all from scratch. And then, that way we're able to own our stuff.
Cool.
Other people, like, it's other beats or other producers. And you have to buy the beat out right exclusively. And that tells you, you sign paperwork saying you own the rights to it. It was purchased. Things like that. I try to dabble myself, but I'm better with the pen and the pad.
Yeah.
But I don't mind trying it. I love it. I've done a couple on my own too. So
Do you pick the speed of the songs, or does he pick the speed of the songs, or like how does that process go about?
Man, it's really just the vibe. Whatever we're in the moment, whatever we're feeling, whatever. Whatever we're discussing, whatever topic we want to talk about, whatever we kind of feel, we try to just go with it. We try to do it in the moment. There's a lot of times I just get like, I'll get emails of just samples from beats of stuff, producers, and whatever I like or whatever I feel at the time, I'll just say, yes, I want that or whatever.
Yeah.
It's either way. It's just whatever you feel and whatever you're in the mix.
Yeah. So which speeds are you the most is your most challenging to rap to, like slow
non-traditional like hip hop beats. But those are the ones I like the most. I love like going out, like let's say like, man, back in the day, like let's say we were going out to like Whiskey River, Ropers, whatever, right? But some people and like, man, I'd be sitting in the corner, like it'd be a country song or something, and I'd just start freestyling, or that's like, to me, that's the best. That's the best. Like to me, I like that. That's the best challenge. And then as an artist, because you got to keep growing, you never know what's gonna mix up or whatever. But that's one thing I like to do personally. Like it don't matter what it is. It could be like Ed Sheeran, or it could be like a Bronco or something. It don't matter. Like if I can find the rhythm I try to just snap to it, get on it.
And I could see your rhymes getting, because I look at your TikTok and I started the first couple of videos. And then I got to like some of the latest videos you have. I'm like, dang, this dude has evolved in the different freestyle. Because you start freestyling over people's stuff, like you would duet their beats. Yeah. And stuff. I'm like, damn, this dude, he's still going. You know what I mean? It's good to hear that.
Yeah, man. I like it because it keeps you on your toes. And then like this one guy, I like. Yeah. I think it's LB88. He throws words up. Crazy. And you got to go with the words. And I like that because, like, whenever I used to freestyle, especially something like back in the day, like, I would tell people, like, man, give me a topic. Like, that way you know it's coming off the dome. That way you know it's fresh. That way you know it's nothing I've written. And I like that. I like him. He just throw words up. So you got to start rhyming whatever words he pops up.
Yeah,
like, I like stuff like that. Yeah, because that's something I would do, like, just driving on the highway. Mm-hmm. I'd be on the highway on Corpus, right? I'd just be, like, on SPID. And all the like different billboards or signs or whatever, and I would just start rapping to like whatever I see, and that's just my way to just stay on my toes and practicing, and I enjoy it. I have fun. I do it with like my nieces and my nephews in the car, and they have a good time with it. So,
yeah, that's cool, man. That's definitely helps build your chops. To which it comes down to, there's no way to get good at freestyle unless you practice it.
Yeah,
you got to practice it. And then just throwing in extra words in there, man, that just makes you better. So when you write, do you write to music, or do you write listening to a piece of music, or do you write just without a piece of music? Like, how does that
process? I do both. I do both. Sometimes I just write just to write because it's in my head and I got like something and I go with it. And then other times, if it's like a brand new beat or something, like I want to listen to it and I just want to start writing to it. If I feel like something fits, I'll try to fit it. But other than that, like I like to be just 100% and just like right then and there. So like if it's a brand new beat, I want to listen to it and I write to it. Sometimes I write just to write. Because another thing I want to do is I want to put out like a poetry book, just some poems, nice. You know, that maybe just didn't work out or didn't fit in songs, you know, and just break them down and do that too. So like a little see what an ebook be selling like, you know.
For sure, man. That's a good idea, bro. Ebook or something. Put some images or something to it, man. That'd be nice. Yeah, definitely. Cool, man. And so you write both ways. Do you feel yourself like studying like the English language, like to help you with your rhymes? You know what I mean? Because I mean, after all,
no. I mean, I probably could and I probably should.
Right.
But no, man. I'd be lying to tell you if I did that shit.
So you get your your influences from obviously from other, you know, other artists that you listen to, right? What are you listening to now that's most influential?
Man, crazy. So I listen to everything. So it just depends, but
how about five non hip hop or rap artists that you're listening to?
I keep jamming the crap right now out of that Tom's Diner, that cover.
Interesting.
Right, like I'm sitting in the them dudes kill it, bro. Them dudes kill it. Right? Them dudes kill it.
Yeah.
That's it's on my YouTube like nonstop. I'm trying to think what else I have on there right now. That's not rap. One thing I always play straight up, shout out. I play these two songs every time I drink or anything, because it's a tribute to my cousin. I do El Mariachi, right, from Desperado with Antonio Banderas, right. I always play that one, and I do I Disappear from Metallica.
Nice.
Right. That one came out in Mission Impossible 2, the soundtrack.
Oh,
right. Sweet. And that was one of my cousin's favorite movies, and that was one of his favorite jams. And then we used to watch Desperado like nothing. We love Sam White.
Nice, man.
So like that El Mariachi, and that fool wasn't mariachi. That fool could play the guitar, the piano, and the drums, and he would do the little, you know, and everything too.
Yeah.
So that stuff that's always in mind. I'm a big Kings of Leon fan. Big Kings fan, like. Huge. I love their Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon. Okay.
Yeah, bro. I love their story, the way they came about. You know, I don't know if you know anything about them, but you know, they're two brothers and they're two cousins. And when they were like, when the ages were like 16 to 21 or 22, their dad and their uncle told them, like, man, it's time for y'all to get a job. What are y'all going to do? Mm-hmm. And they said, we're going to be a rock and roll band. But none of them knew how to play an instrument.
Crazy.
So they took a piece of history from the Eagles. The Eagles did this back in the day. When the Eagles became the Eagles, they locked themselves in the basement to get like a sound as a band. So what the Kings and Leon did is they all locked themselves in the basement with the instrument they picked. And they didn't come out until they could play the instrument. So one taught how to play the drums, the guitar, and everything. They all put themselves together, and their mom and their aunt would bring them food, and they would say that that's why, if you ever notice their first albums, they have really long hair, long beards, because they were in a basement not doing anything but learning how to play. And that's why their music's very simple, very thing, but that's what they did. And it was like one of those, if I can, you can too moments, like, you know,
nice,
like,
man.
Right. So like that's why I fuck with them heavy. They're really cool. They're always on my stuff. I'm trying to think of some other things that I have, like, that aren't rap. Man, I'm going blank on stuff too, man. And my dad is a lot older, so I love a lot of 50s, 60s music.
Nice.
I like a lot of 70s, 80s from my sisters. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, 90s, 2000s, and up. But man, I just love music. Like, I can listen to a lot. It's just, you know, like, so, like, oh, okay, you know what? I'm a big Pepper fan.
Pepper?
Yeah, like, yeah, Pepper. Kona Town. Back when they were, like, signed to Volcom Records before they became everything else. Like, that was, like, one of the best things because, you know, being Corpus, you know, we love the beach. We surf. We skimboard. Pepper, you know, they were dope. Like, Stormtrooper. That man, that shit went hard. Nice. Shit, I mean, man, dude, you just name it. Like, I just, yeah. So, like, I listen to a lot.
Yeah, man, you definitely got to get your influence from somewhere, man. If you, the more influences you have, the more better your writing becomes. That's what I think. Like, if you play guitar or something, you got to like different types of guitar music. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The styles are different. You can learn from different, and then you just create your own. I mean, that's how bands, you know, make it. You know, I mean, make their music. Yeah. They get it from influences. Yeah, they get mm-hmm. it from influences. Definitely, man. So do you pride yourself as a Texas artist?
Oh yeah, man, all day, every day. Yes, mm-hmm. I represent Corpus like a motherfucker. hell yes, bro, all day, every day. I mean, I represent Texas. Like, I got a couple songs. I got a song out there where, like, I say, I don't do it for my city. I do it for my state, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, bro, I do it for my city, like. I love Corpus. Corpus is home. Corpus is where I grew up. It's what raised me, taught me who to be I am. Everything I know is from there, music-wise, influence-wise, from Bay Ball to, like, you know, everything, man. I love Corpus. But then I love Texas. I've also lived in San Antonio. I lived in Dallas. I lived in Bryan, College Station. I love Texas. I'm a big Texas fan. The only thing I feel like more Corpus people are real Texas fans than any other city, because we don't have a team, right? Besides the Hooks, right? right? Besides the Hooks. Before that, like, I feel like every Corpus person is a San Antonio fan, and every Corpus fan is like a fucking Dallas Cowboy fan.
Yeah.
And then it's just a toss up between the Rockets and, you know, the Rangers and the Astros. But it don't matter. We all over. We love Texas. Like, if you're from Texas, I feel like even if you're a Texas fan, you support other Texas teams being in Texas. Like, I don't support, like, I don't fuck with that team, but it's Texas, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to rock with them until they fall off.
For sure, bro. And it's not till you leave Texas and go live somewhere else. So you're like, I'm from Texas, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you're more, like, this is where I'm from. You know?
Bro, it's crazy. It's crazy how you're saying that, because, like, that's how it is. Like, when anytime I leave and I tell people I'm from Corpus, they're like, man, all you Corpus people are the same. Like, y'all are so, like, y'all are from Corpus. Corpus is this. Corpus is that. And I'm like, yes, bitch, 361, motherfucker,
and
yes.
So, yeah. And
that's, you know what I'm saying? What, ho? And what? What you gonna do, buddy? What? Yes, we all them people. What?
That's it, bro.
I can't fuck with it. I swear, like, every other... Man, ain't no shout outs. I mean, all the other cities in Texas, y'all dope, right? Don't get it twisted. Yeah. But y'all cannot fuck with Corpus people. Corpus people are on a different level when it comes to drinking, when it comes to partying, when it comes to doing, because we ain't got shit to do out there but do bonfires and go out to, like, Bob Hall Pier. Yeah. Ain't got shit to do but go, like, out and just fucking drink and drive. Ain't got shit to do out there. We ain't have no place to go. Ain't nobody was going to the mall back then. Ain't nobody was going to Sunrise. Anybody going to Padre, now it's Palmieri and shit, making it fancy.
It ain't just about Selena out here.
For real, dog.
It ain't just about Selena.
It ain't, bro. Like, it ain't like, oh, like Selena. I'm like, bro, no, dog. Like, no, man. Like, man, y'all had, like, everybody act like we fucking knew Selena hand in hand and shit. Like, when you go to Vegas, they're like, oh, you're home with Selena. I'm like, yeah, bro. But we got other shit too. It's Corpus. But you know what? And that's one thing I do hate about some Corpus people. Eva Longoria, like, I hate this bitch. Don't ever rep Corpus, bro.
Oh, come on, man.
She's San Antonio. Yeah. She only like San Antonio. Like, you know, I hate when people make it big and they don't rep Corpus.
Dude, that sucks, man.
Right? Like that is like, that's one thing that blew my mind. Like, I feel like Corpus is a shit. I love Corpus, bro. So,
This was up, man. You know. Yeah, I mean, you're proud from your city, especially to leave, because I used to live out of town, and I used to tell people, like, Corpus Christi. They're like, where? And I'm like, Corpus Christi, man. You know, and, but yeah, definitely, bro. That's cool, man. So you grew up on, you grew up on, like, DJ Screw and that type of rap, I guess what you call it. I know what you call it.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. That era.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, I remember that stuff. The Screwed and Chopped.
Like, Lil Flip. Yeah, Lil Flip, you know, Slim Thug, DSR, Tom Tom, Big Tub, you know, Four Corner Hustlers, you know, Charlie Boy.
Yeah, bro, there's a lot of Texas artists, man, that we don't realize. They're from Texas, and it's like,
Magno in there, you know, like, I was like, Paul Walker Moon there. They were first coming out. Fat Pat. All them fools, man.
Yeah, man. Cool, bro. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, bro. I think I'm trying to look at my notes here, see if I got anything else here. But yeah, I appreciate you coming on, bro. You want to share anything?
Man, I appreciate you having me, man. I appreciate you having me. Be on the lookout. Flight is about to be dropping here pretty soon. On top of that, I got another single coming out with Peso Peso. It's called Dip and I Move. That's also going to be dropping out at the end of the summer. I finally got the approval and everything for that. It was just taking a while because we had to go through different labels and things, but crazy, that's finally about to be approved. And then, man, just be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. I'm going to try to be doing some more shows, trying to do things, trying to get some things ready for Buck Days. So, you know, yeah, if y'all got a chance, man, follow me on Instagram. It's Cantu, the number 2, MF. Follow my little brother, Eat Slice, on CCTX for pizza. Alina's Corner for my baby boutique. And, you know, man, check me out on Apple Music, on TikTok, on Snapchat. Follow me everywhere. And, you know, I give love back, comment. I comment back. So let's get it.
Yes, sir.
Let's just keep it Corpus Christi original.
Yeah, keep it original, baby. Corpus Christi.
Yes, sir.
Well, man, I appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon, man. Have a good one.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, bro. And I can't wait to get that hat from you, bro. It's going to be dope.
It's already out, man. You'll probably get it on Monday.
Yeah, bro. It's going to be sick. I'll make a video for it. It's going to be time. In case y'all want to know, it is a maroon Corpus Christi hat because, yes, it is A&M up in this bitch. Give them. Let's get it.
All right, y'all. That was artist Cantu. Check him out at TikTok, Instagram. I'll leave links in the description as well as links to his businesses that he's a part of. You can help support him in that sense. And if you want to support this podcast, check out the merch at CorpusChristiOriginals.com. We appreciate you guys. Have a good one. Bye.